Covenant Law, Commentary for the May 22, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19, verse 6a. Joe has been single for several years, but he has finally met someone and fallen in love. He understands this will bring big changes to his life. Until now, he's been happy riding the bus and walking to get about the city, with an occasional taxi trip for more urgent needs. But now that he is contemplating marriage and a family, he has concluded that a reliable automobile is necessary. He begins scouring the car ads, both online and in the newspaper. He also asks his friends about their car buying experiences. Eventually, after considering all the options, he decides to approach an automobile dealership. As Joe and his girlfriend are wandering the car lot, a well-dressed salesman comes over and introduces himself. He asks them, "Do you see anything you like?" In response, they tell him what they are looking for. He says, "I think I have just the model to fit your needs." He shows them a sporty sedan and encourages them to test drive it. After a trip around the area, they are convinced that this car will work well for their needs. They begin negotiations for the purchase and finally agree on terms that are very generous and will easily fit within Joe's budget. When the contract is written up, the salesman urges them to read it over and make sure they are comfortable with the terms before they sign it. Once they sign it, he reminds Joe that the first payment will be due in 45 days. Joe replies that that should be no problem since the car is very affordable and thanks the agent for his help in making things happen. After Joe gets home, he gets on social media and posts pictures of the new car and shares how happy he is with the purchase. But then an old friend, Red, says he got a better deal on a similar car with a laughing emoji. Red had not responded when Joe had asked for input from his friends prior to buying the new vehicle. Nonetheless, Red was full of input now and did his best to make Joe think he made a wrong decision. Joe discussed it with his girlfriend. She said she likes the car and how affordable it is. But if he was unhappy, maybe he should talk to the salesman. Joe told her he would sleep on it and decide the next day. In the meantime, he began to look for defects. Even though he knew he had bought a used vehicle, the paint was not as shiny as a new car, and it did not have the new car smell. And that bothered him. He also discovered the paint had chipped about the size of a pea on one corner of the hood. He would mention these things to the agent. When he appeared on the lot the next day, the agent could tell he was unhappy and quickly came over. "Is everything okay?" he asked. "Well, I noticed some problems," and he shared the issues he found. He also shared that his friend said he had found a better deal. "Since I don't know the circumstances, I cannot explain your friend's better deal, but I thought we agreed on what you felt was a great deal, and we put everything you asked for in the contract." "Yes, but it doesn't seem like such a great deal now." "I understand. We have a couple of options," the salesman offered. "I can upgrade you to a newer vehicle. However, I cannot do it at the price we negotiated. Or I can have the shop detail your car once again and try to correct the issues you mentioned." Joe said he needed to discuss the offer with his girlfriend before deciding what to do. When he told her, she reminded him that she liked the car and suggested he accept the offer for the free detail. But after the detail, Joe was still feeling he had been taken advantage of and was not careful about living up to his end of the contract. At first, his payments were a little late, but then he started missing them altogether. One morning, he went out to take the car to work, and it was no longer there. The dealership repossessed it for failure to make payments. When he called the dealership, he was told that he had 30 days to cure the deficiency in payments and to cover the towing and storage for the vehicle. What had begun as dissatisfaction over a minor paint chip was now going to cost him over $1,000. Looking for sympathy and other options, he contacted his friend Red and explained what happened. "Why didn't you make your payments?" Red asked. "I was unhappy after you told me you found a better deal." "It's true that I got a car like yours for a lower price, but the guy I bought it from turned out to be dishonest. That car was in the shop for repairs every other week until I finally sold it at a loss." Joe's situation could have turned out far worse. He had also neglected the maintenance on his car. Had the car failed at some crucial moment, it could have cost his life or that of his girlfriend. We sometimes approach God the same way Joe approached buying a car. We often meet God through the recommendations of our friends. They share with us the impact their relationship with God has had on their lives, and they are attracted to seeking those things for themselves. They freely come to him seeking what he has to offer. God lays out in his word what the terms of a relationship are. The deal seems almost too good to be true, so we accept. Like Joe, we share what we have found and the blessing we now have in our life. But also, like Joe, we have friends like Red, who tell us that we were cheated and brainwashed into a relationship with God. Even though we were free to embrace God or walk the other way, those friends insist it is only about God wanting to control everyone. They point out our obligations. But imagine if we were to walk into a car dealership and demand a new car with no obligations on our part. Security would soon show us to the street. A life without obligations is not reality. What is God offering as his commitment to the contract? As the verse at the beginning of this commentary says, he is offering to make us into a kingdom of priests, what Peter calls a royal priesthood. This would be as if the car dealership not only sold you a car, but took you on as a salesman with all the pay and benefits a salesman would receive, while you sold reliable cars to others, who in turn would become part of the sales staff. No one would be forced to accept that offer. An unhappy salesman is not going to be a profitable one. To ensure happiness, God offers a contract, and we are free to consider every aspect of the agreement before committing ourselves. In the terms, we find that we are expected to love God completely and our neighbors as ourselves. When we are not loving, we breach the agreement. If each is loving per the agreement, it ensures happiness for all, and everyone looks out for everyone else. Despite all of that, we still too often act like Joe and choose to wander from the agreement. This is not only true of us, but it has also been true of many well-known Bible characters. For instance, Abraham felt that God's promises were not good enough and decided to take matters into his own hands, fathering Ishmael by Hagar instead of waiting for Isaac, the promised child, through Sarah, his wife. Abraham even seemed to believe that what he did was fulfilling God's wishes. It seems that no matter how clearly God expresses himself, we have a human gift for caviling about everything. When the commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day," we quibble that every day is a Sabbath, or who knows what day it is, even though the Jews have kept it for thousands of years. When the commandment says, "You shall not kill," we say that what it really means is murder, so stockpiling enough nuclear armaments to char the entire earth several times over is believed to be fine because it is a military necessity and not therefore murder. When the commandment says, "You shall not steal," we seem to understand this as extremely applicable to the poor, while excusing the rich who do it on a grander scale. This leads us to feel that greed is a better choice than entering a relationship with God. Perhaps, therefore, Jesus felt it necessary to teach his disciples how difficult it is for someone to be a part of the kingdom of God if they make wealth their aim. Just like the dealership Joe visited was open to all who came to buy a car, so God offers his contract to all who would come to him. There are no people who exclusively have a right to that relationship. It is not based on race, gender, nationality, or any other means by which we divide ourselves. Jesus showed this in his outreach to the Samaritans. The apostles followed his example. Peter, when he was in Joppa, baptized a Roman centurion and his family, and Philip baptized an Ethiopian eunuch. Paul, more than them all, baptized non-Jews into the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, today, we have drifted from those lessons. Like the Jews of old, we see ourselves as chosen, the remnant, who alone are faithful. We condemn other faith traditions as being excluded from the kingdom, and we barely lift a finger to reach out to them unless they first find their way to our door and display adequate humility. Maybe it is because deep down we question our own choice to be in relationship with God. Like Abraham, who chose his own way to fulfill God's promise, we are doing the same. Maybe it is time we stop believing Red has a better idea. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the written version of this commentary and many others like it at our website at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.